Blog Talk Radio.
Your host, Merle Exit. Well, it's a really, really hot day out. I don't know, I think it's at least 90 degrees. Sitting in my house, it's 5 p.m. in New York City. And, well, there's this game that's going to be going on tomorrow, Saturday. It's a playoff game between the New York Sharks and the Minnesota Vixens. And this is going to be a historic game. And we got Laura Brown coming on, the owner of the team.
Hello.
Hi, Laura.
Hi there. Let me just take you out Bluetooth here.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're on the air. It's okay.
All right. There we go.
Okay.
Hi there.
Everybody goes around with Bluetooth these days, I know.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. So, let's get into this whole thing. Well, it's sort of, we're going to call it, I mean, it's not really revenge, but it's because...
No.
You know, all this time has gone by, and this is really the first time you're getting to play the Sharks. So it's like, well, now that, you know, 17 years later, out of the teams, you know, were you there back in 1999 for this thing?
I was not. This is my fourth year involved with women's football, my fourth year playing, and my third season owning and operating the team.
Oh, okay. So what position do you have on the team?
I play defensive end and tight end, although this year I've been out injured, so I've been watching from the sidelines this year.
And are you, like, now, did you buy the team? Why did you buy the team? Everybody always has a reason.
Yeah, so... I currently work as a pharmacist, but before I got into pharmacy, I worked basically as a manager for small businesses, restaurants, retails, and had a lot of business background. And my rookie year, you know, I played the year, kind of found what the team was about and walked away from it and just thought this is a phenomenal experience I had. You know, everything from the people I met to the opportunities that I had on the field to play football and learn more about the game and hit people and all of that fun stuff. And I just knew that it was such a great opportunity that was there that, you know, I went to the existing owners and I said, hey, you know, I don't know if you guys know this, but I got a background in business. I can probably help you out, you know, some this next year. Just, you know, let me know what you need to do. You know, maybe I'll run a fundraiser, something like that for you guys. But I want to contribute to this organization because it's already given so much back to me. And
right.
What I didn't know of at the time is they were kind of looking to step back a little bit and kind of looking for that exit strategy. So, you know, I had a few more meetings with them and I knew that I could be a positive influence and really be good for the team. So after we had a few more meetings and I knew there was some other, you know, key people involved in the team that were willing to support me as we transitioned and I acquired the team. And I was like, let's do it. Let's jump in. Let's see how this goes. And it's been a great experience. I've really had a lot of fun with it.
Now, the former owners, are they say the owners from back in 1999, or that had it even gone from someone
no,
to them?
No. Yeah, there's been probably one, two, three, four, at least five different ownership changes since 99 that I'm aware of.
Okay.
Yeah. But I think it speaks something to the organization because, you know, we don't just scrap it and say, you know, this is my ball, I'm hoarding this, no one else can have it. And instead,
right.
they look to find somebody who is willing to pick up the torch and carry on. You know, and there's times where players have done that, you know, picked it up and kept going with it because they didn't want the team to fold. And I think it speaks a lot, too, that, you know, there's an attitude in Minnesota that this is bigger than us. You know, this isn't just my brand or my team. You know, the team's bigger than just me as an owner. And, you know, I may be with the team, you know, 5, 10, 15 years, but, you know, as an owner and involved with it, but it's going to continue on after me. You know, it's not going to shut down and open up, you know, in the next suburb over with a different name and, you know, things like that. It's going to keep going.
Well, now, just to get in terms of your background with football, had you ever played football prior to playing with the Vixens?
Nope, never in my life. Basically, you know, and as a kid, every day at recess, I was out with the boys playing. So if they were playing a little football out on the recess field, I was right there with them. If they were playing soccer, I was playing soccer. If it was baseball, I was playing baseball. It didn't really matter. And but every Sunday, you know, I was on the couch watching football with my dad, you know, from early in the morning, as soon as they'd start airing any pre-football, all day Sunday, and then, of course, Monday night growing up, and just loved the game. Tried to convince my mother to let me play on the boys team at one point, and that proved to no avail. And so I, you know, I got involved with just about any sport that I could. You know, I played soccer and volleyball and softball and basketball, and swimming, any kind of organizational, you know, sports team that I could get involved in. I really just ate it up and enjoyed it. And so when I got into adulthood and I found this opportunity was there, I couldn't believe it. And I was just immediately, I knew I was going to be there, you know, if nothing else, just to take the opportunity to participate in a few practices, you know, and I'm glad I did. It's been one of the best decisions I've made.
When did you learn that there was a team in your neighborhood or whatever, in your area? Had you followed them?
Nope. I found out about them, let's see, it would have been fall of 2012. I was working at a hospital at the time, and one of the nurses, we were sitting down in a break room, you know, watching TV, and started talking about football, and she started telling me about the team and telling me that I should go play. And it was news to me that there was, you know, I mean, I'd heard about the lingerie team, and
yeah.
But I had no idea that there was other football teams out there, too. You know, and those women are athletes, and I don't want to take that away from them, but I know the first time I heard about it, my first thought was, this is exciting. I could play football. And unfortunately, my second thought was, how much weight do I have to lose? You know, what do I have to do so that I have the physical appearance to be on the team? And that was a little depressing. And but, you know, you watch those women out there, you know, playing that lingerie there, and they're still athletes and they're still hitting and they're still playing the game. So you got to give that to those women.
Well, I have a different attitude. I think it's degrading. Considering how long women have been playing women's tackle football and how many teams, the fact that it becomes the only popular thing is seeing women in their underwear. I mean, men are not going to play in their jock straps, right?
Yep, that's, you know, and that's true, and that's an extremely valid point, and that's why one of the things is, we have a goal in Minnesota that, you know, by the year 2020, we would like the average Minnesotan to know that our team exists. That way women have the opportunity, you know. Now, maybe not everyone wants to play football. Maybe not everyone wants to play, you know, full contact. Maybe they want to choose to play the lingerie, but at least they know it's there. They know we're there to watch. They know we're there to follow and have the fans. And, you know, they'll know that there's an opportunity that they can grow up and play football.
So now, do you have, before I get into this whole thing with the game, so what about in terms of, you have a person that handles marketing and public relations? Do you have that?
Everything that is with the team operations is pretty much 90% with my husband and myself, and we do almost everything. He has a business background also. You know, my coaching staff is phenomenal. They do, you know, take care of everything on the field, and they're always willing to step in and help us, you know, with a lot of the behind-the-scenes administrative duties, you know, as they're able to. But no, we're doing the marketing, we're doing the finances and the taxes and the PR and pretty much all that stuff ourselves. With,
well,
you know, I shouldn't just say ourselves because, yeah, there's some players who, you know, you pick up these, they're all adults, they all have jobs, and they all have different skill sets. And we have players who step forth and maybe do a little bit of graphic art, you know, work for us, pulling together a T-shirt or helping with press releases and things like that. So the players are a great resource for us to take advantage of.
And what about in terms of the amount of people, the fans that come to the game? What do you usually average, or is it, you know?
Our home opener this year, we had over 800 people at the home opener in the stands.
Okay.
And then so that's what we're expecting on Saturday tomorrow. We're hoping to have 800, possibly even see if we can break a record again and go up to 1,000.
So you're getting the fans. You're getting but you don't. I mean, fortunately, you don't have that many. In terms of clashing with, like, here in New York, it's like, well, you know, and the Mets are playing, and this is done, and it's like, so what happens is, like, you know, it doesn't become one of the important things to see because there's so many other sports going on at the same time. Are you facing that, or you don't have that many teams over there to contend with?
No, we face that, and whether it's a sporting event or just anything that you're fighting for the fans' attention that weekend.
Right.
You know, here in Minnesota, everyone wants to go up north to their cabin on the weekend, you know,
right.
So that's one of the big things. So we try to make it a very family and kind of a fun-oriented event. And the other thing that's great about with the women's football is running in the spring. We get a lot of people that want that football fix. And so they're coming out because they miss football and they're true football fans. You know, we do get a little bit of people who, you know, want to split the time between, like, the Lynx. They're having another, you know, awesome season. And, you know, fortunately enough for us is, you know, they have a lot more games and the seasons overlap, but they're not exclusive to one another with the game. So
all right,
we're finally pulling fans from both.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the other thing, so let's get into this thing, because you had, you know, it's funny, when I first, you know, when we're first conversing on the internet, in terms of you're saying you have three players that were there since 1999, and the first thought I had was, wow, they must be so old, and then I started calculating that if I said, well,
yep.
Wait a minute, if they started when they were 18, they're... And I have to say, because with women's tackle football, there's no age limit. So I'm saying, so they would be only 35 years old. In men's sports, in men's sports, they would have retired by then. But with the, you know, with tackle football, I know, like, I don't know what the rec, you know, well, I remember back at one time there was a woman that was 60 years old playing for a Florida team.
Wow.
But as far as, like, with the Sharks, I think we had somebody that was 50 years old. She was turning 50. And she was she was still playing. But
all three of the women.
That was our oldest.
Yeah.
So how?
Well, all three women are in their 40s. You know, and they're still going strong. The oldest is 49, and the other two are in their 40s as well. And two of them have played every season since 1999, and
wow.
The other player has played 16 seasons. She took two seasons off, one to have each kid.
So what are their names, and which ones are we talking about?
Cynthia Red Bryant, she's number 96, and she kind of anchors our defensive line. And then we have number 52, Michelle Brown. And Michelle has played center for us and currently is our long snapper. And then number 48, Jody Moose Raylander. She is one of our inside linebackers. And both Red and Moose are all-stars this year and are starters.
So Michelle has been on the team since 1999?
That's correct.
Oh, okay. I think my brain is going, I think the Sharks had a play named Michelle Brown. Also, I'm going, wait a minute, did she? And she moved. And I'm thinking, that can't be the same one.
No, okay. Not the same one. Our Michelle Brown, it's Braun. She's been with us every single season since 1999.
Okay. And so and of course all your players have full-time jobs and stuff. Let's go into this, the whole thing. So do you know the whole history about with the thing with the Sharks and the Vixens?
Oh yeah. I mean, it's you can't be involved in this organization and not understand, you know, the history and the roots with it. So
because you weren't around, what is your angle? What did you get that happened or whatever?
You know, basically going back to 1999, you know, the Vixen were part of that barnstorming tour where they were playing the Michigan Minx, you know, going around the country, just kind of playing each other. And then they were looking for some additional exhibition games. So they took some of the Minx players and then kind of combined them with the Vixen players. And the Vixen went out and played the New York Sharks, who then were the Long Island team, and were playing flag football. And they actually were pretty successful flag football teams, but they decided to suit up and play some tackle football with the Vixen. And history kind of went from there. From what I understand, it was a very, very cold, foggy evening in December, very hard-fought game, and New York came out on top 12-6. And our players still talk about it. And, you know, both Red and Moose played in that game, and they're anxious to get back out on the field. And I got to say, from knowing, you know, Dana, who's the delegate from the Sharks, knowing her at meetings and stuff like that, and the dealings that I've had with New York in the last couple of weeks as we're preparing to host them, they seem just like a great organization. And I think you can just, knowing to be able to have your organization going from 99 on to current day, you've got to have your organization run well. And I think it shows.
Yeah, it looks like both teams are the longest running.
Yep.
I'm not quite sure. So
well, it kind of goes on to, you know, they were around, I'm not sure when they played the first flag game, how many years they were around, but they were playing flag football and we were playing tackle football. So
right. We're
the longest running tackle team, but they may have had some flag games before us. So then they can be the longest running football team. So
okay,
it all gets into semantics.
It really doesn't matter.
Yeah, but, you know, they were both there in the beginning of the modern era of women's football back in 99. They both were there that first season.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's like one of the things that's important about this game is more showing how long, you know, you got two teams that have been around for the longest. You know, and so this is like kind of history. Have you guys gotten like TV or anything like that to promote this?
Well, all our games are televised here in the Twin Cities in the metro area on cable TV. So we do have all of our games televised, and then they're also live web streamed. So, you know, people can watch all over the country. In fact, even internationally, we have people watching the games in Germany and so forth. And then for his press coverage, we've had, you know, a couple local, one of our local newspapers just actually put out an article on us today. And then we have a couple of the other local affiliate news stations who are hopefully coming out for the game tomorrow and get some footage and do some stories on the team.
Yeah. That would be nice. It's been very difficult. I don't know if you know what my background with them is. Do you at all?
No, I'm not familiar with it.
Oh, okay. Well, basically what had happened was that I had met them in 2002. I had never heard of women even playing football at all, and I was like, you know, kind of like, oh, this sounds interesting. And so I met the team, and I made the mistake of saying, I'll do anything I can to help. Well, that was a mistake, including all of a sudden I'm singing the Star Spangled Banner, and it's like, you know. But what basically what had happened was that in 2002 they took the championship game. Well, stupid me.
Yep.
I'm expecting, oh, well, this is great. I'm sure they're going to have a ticker tape parade. Nobody cares. No, nobody cares.
Yep.
That they won. And that got me so angry that I, like, went all out. For the next 10 years, I was doing everything I could to create things that the media could cover. And even then, it didn't make a difference. Like, I got the, what do you call it? I had them sign a football, and it's in the NFL Football Hall of Fame. I wanted them to show it.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, come on, the rest. Come on, everybody. Do the same thing. And nobody went with it. I said, okay, all right, okay, let's try something else. And I had this whole thing with the Museum of the World Treasure. I don't even want to go into that whole big upset that certain people screwed up that would have had an IWFL Hall of Fame. But anyway, and so I was doing these kind of things, I guess, sort of out of, you know, revenge, anger, you know, kind of thing. So, but at this point, I had, you know, that what I did is I said, I can't do it anymore. You know, I had enough. This is aggravating and whatever. And fortunately, there's somebody on the team that decided they're going to do this their job. And I thought, good luck to you. But I have to say, I can't believe that she's getting, I mean, television coverage, all kinds of coverage. And I'm going, it's about time that, you know, something's happening. But the whole thing is, it's not just, you know, with the Sharks. This should be happening all over. This should, you know, it should be happening with every team. And maybe, like, I was trying to put it out there that if anybody wants assistance on knowing how to do all this stuff, they're welcome to call me. And, you know, I didn't get paid before. I'm not going to get paid now. You know what I'm saying? But
yeah.
And it's things like, you know, it's things like that. So, and just to give you an idea, well, regardless of what happens with this game, you still maintain, you have gotten that you are the, what is it, the, what division, the championship that you, that's called? Mid-Atlantic? No.
Midwest Conference.
Okay.
Yep.
So, for instance, what I would do, I guess depending on Saturday's game, and you'll know to go up from there, is you start sending out letters to every politician requesting a congratulatory letter. Some of them will send proclamations, and you do this like every year that you have something that has been accomplished, and you keep doing it. It's very difficult. It's very difficult. But there was a point I was doing this every time, it's just not only to acknowledge the team, but for the players to always have something in their hand years later that has their name on it with a congratulations. That's from, like, say, and I had letters from Hillary Clinton. I had letters, you know, like, I just get them all kind of thing. And I just do it. The worst thing is they say no, and most of the time they don't because they're politicians. And, of course,
yep.
The fact that I'm a journalist, it makes me push it even more. But the point that I'm saying is that everybody, like, needs to do things like this so that it's clearer out there, and it becomes, I guess, something for the media to get hold of.
Oh, precisely. Yep,
now,
precisely. And, I mean, I think
yeah.
you have to be organized. One, you know, like you said, you know, people, each team has to know how to do this, and I think there's a huge need out there in women's football where, you know, people need a little bit of a instruction manual on how to do this in a step-by-step, and, you know, here's a template for a press release. Here's when we suggest you do press releases.
Yes.
You should, you know, we compiled our list of politicians this year, and even just sending them information about the team. Currently, we play at Simley High School in Invergrove Heights, and one of the reasons that we're playing there right now is our Minnesota state representative for the Minnesota House, Joe Atkins, when he found out we own the team, he approached us, and he said, I want you to play in my district. You know, and
okay.
and that community has been huge
like
support
like
for us. Yeah, and so, you know, and the mayor of the area is supporting, and so, you know, we've definitely have gone through, and, you know, one of our players, her spouse created the list of all of the politicians, you know, here in Minnesota on who we can contact and start sending them out things. And like you said, you know, it's great for players to have that thing in the hand. It's great to get recognition. But I think between the politicians and all of the news media outlets, it's sometimes you feel like you're banging your head against the wall because you're not getting a response. But what's happening, though, that you may not see is they're going, oh, yeah, that's right. I kind of forgot about them. Let me think
right.
about them. You know,
right.
and they keep seeing it, and they keep seeing that you're not going away. And
right.
then I think the other thing that has changed, you know, since back in 2002 when you first doing this is we have social media now, and that's huge.
Yeah.
And if you can get people behind you on social media, you know, the mainstream media is going to start taking, you know, notice of you. But
yep.
really, you know, most of the press, they want to do human interest stories on us, which is great. You know, and we get a little story done on us here and there. And that helps so much with exposure, and it's interesting reading for the readers. But what I'd really like to see is that next step is I'd like to see, you know, our highlights of our games being on the 10 o'clock news at night, you know,
oh, yeah.
reporting on
know,
the scores.
That's,
and that's
right. Yeah, that's what we want.
And that's
want.
Really the next step that we need. Yep. And that's really what the next step is. And I think as the social media presence continues to grow, and as they see that this is not going away, and this is what, you know, the people who are watching demanding it and they want to see it, that's really what's going to drive it.
Well, the other thing I've also found was in terms of, like, the local newspapers. This was the stupid thing that I had to go through. When I was first trying to do stuff, I was working for a newspaper in Queens. And I said, well...
Mm-hmm.
We have enough Queens local newspapers. Let me see if I can get them to come out and cover the game since we're playing in Queens. Nobody
yep.
wanted to because, A, it wasn't like kids playing. It wasn't high
mm-hmm.
school. And they would say to me, do any of the players live in Queens? And I would say, do you ask
yep.
the Mets players where they live? Or you just... because they're playing in Queens. So I was getting this
mm-hmm.
kind of response got to be totally stupid. You know, but
yeah.
So
yeah.
what I had started to do was try to write for other local newspapers besides the one I was writing for to cover the games, you know. But they
mm-hmm.
also, in terms of human interest stories, for instance, there's a paper, it's a Brooklyn newspaper. And I said, well, because their home games are in Brooklyn, can I cover the games? And they said yes. I didn't want to cover the game. I wanted the sports editor to go out there and cover the games because that was, you know what I mean? You know. And I said,
yep.
well, if I have to cover it, I guess I will. I mean, now what has come up is, and I'm hoping this is a positive thing, that this particular group of newspapers change sports editors, and it's a woman who's a sports editor.
Oh, great.
And I said, oh, listen, what this interests you about the New York Sharks? And what I was pushing was, okay, players that live in Brooklyn, you kind of thing. But then I wanted her to really cover tomorrow's game, even if she's on the internet or whatever she does, to write about it. And of course, it turns out she can, and she's turning to me and say, "Can you do it?" And I'm taking a deep breath and going, "Yes." But how many times are you going to see my name in the local newspapers covering the New York Sharks? You know, that's not the purpose. So what's now happening is I'm going to be covering tomorrow's game by watching it and putting out like all, you know, the kind of the history between the two of you guys and just kind of covering the game kind of thing, you know, and, and you know, where it leads. It'll be online, so you guys will see the game covered. That's not in your neighborhood.
Great.
You know,
yep.
But it's still of interest, you know. I mean, it's not as if there's no other team nearby in terms of tackle team, whereas you have like two of them. You know, one from one league and one from another. So, you know, at least that. So now, so when you would play again, because this is one of the things that I try to explain to people, is that when people want to play for a team, it's basically most of the players have been involved with some team sports prior to trying out for a team. So they're athletically inclined. And then it becomes, I guess, can you communicate with the coach and can the coach teach you? Which kind of, that's what it kind of boils down to. Just, you know, in terms of learning.
Yeah.
I look at the game and I'm going, how did they know, like, when someone says, right six, what the hell it means? And I'm like, it's written, you know, whatever. How do they memorize this? All these things that go on in my head. And after all these years, if I had to tell anybody what you actually do by your telling me your position, no way. I'm on the sidelines, and the only person that I know that of what they do, other than the what I call the catcher and the pitcher, is the not the running back, the one that's closest to the person that's closest to the sidelines. What's the
a wide receiver?
The wide receiver.
Wide receiver?
That's the only people that I always knew. I said, of course, they're the nearest to the line over here. All right, I can see it. I know what you do. But so that's I'll never figure out. But who cares? As long as like somebody's got the stats, and that's all that I have to deal with. What if I'm writing things up and try to get some photos or whatever I can, that I can do. But I think this is really it needs to go much further. This whole idea, and yes, it needs to be on. First needs to be on the news of of the typical, they get to the sports and they say, and the Vixens blah, 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 took the blah, 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 yeah, and here's some footage, the same thing that they would do with any men's team, that type of thing, that's what has to
exactly
One of the, because last year, the Pittsburgh, have you ever played the Pittsburgh Passion? Has that ever come up?
No, we have not.
Okay. Well, the Pittsburgh Passion had taken the championship game. And after they took the game, I was on the phone with them. I said, so what's going to happen? What is the mayor going to do? I want a ticker tape parade. For you, you need to have a ticker tape parade. This has to be done. I mean, I was calling the mayor's office. I was like on getting a proclamation from, I mean, things got done. But to me, it wasn't enough. I think, I had them submit a signed football to the NFL Hall of Fame.
that's a start.
Yeah. And if it comes to that you take the championship game, that's what needs to happen. We need to make a big deal out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So people get it, you know, a really big deal. So,
And it's one of those things, once you can get the ball rolling, sometimes it can gain speed, and before you know it, you know, you got more people that are hopping on board, and the thing starts getting a life of its own.
Now, did you have any players that went into the international games?
Not currently on the roster, no.
Okay. I don't know whether they did. I don't remember whether it was they did this with the IWFL. I forgot already, which everybody's changing teams. And I think so.
Yeah, and then they went down in, are you talking down in Florida?
Oh, no, this is when they went to Sweden.
When they went to Sweden. Yeah, went to Sweden. Yeah. No, I don't believe we had anybody on there that year.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, it's like, they came back, you know, following the game, they came back to get the gold. USA football gets the gold.
Yeah.
And not only did they get the gold, not one team scored even 1 point against them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, come on, media, really? I mean, nothing, absolutely nothing. Well, I was so pissed. Not only did I get off letters to all the politicians. I said, well, we got six players wearing, you know, the gold around the neck. I had them honored at the mayor's office here. I refused to not have them acknowledged someplace, you know. And again, there was another game that USA football came back with the gold. And again, it's like, you know, if any men's team would have come back with the gold, there would have been a big deal, you know. And it's that I think is one of the basic issues of this in terms of, you know, who the publicity or the acknowledgement. Forget the publicity, just the acknowledgement. But so I'm hoping, regardless of what comes out, that there's a lot of you know, there's a lot of coverage, there's a lot of publicity with tomorrow's game. Now, what happens? What happens with the in terms of the win? Who plays?
Mm-hmm.
Then who does? Who
advancement?
You or the Sharks play? Wind up playing.
So. There's another game that's going to be happening with the Utah Falcons and the Austin Yellow Jackets tomorrow. And then the winner of that game and the winner of our game will meet in North Carolina July 23rd for the championship game. Yep.
Okay.
Whoever wins tomorrow is going to be playing in the championship game for the IWFL this year.
Which is cool.
Very cool.
I had never heard of the other two teams, but that's okay. I went, who? Okay. Anyway, well, I'm really glad that you were able to chat with me about this. And as I said, you know, I'm going to, you know, cover this thing and hope that It's not a game. Yeah, there are games where people get hurt on purpose, you know, if you know what I mean. There are teams
yeah.
that all they want to do is, like, let's see what we can do to injure the other people, the other teams. And then there are games that they just, you know, they do everything by the book and, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean. So
yep.
that's what I'm hoping that, you know, that it's a really good game. And, yeah, that's it, a good and exciting game, regardless of the outcome. Yeah.
I think the two teams are matched up really well. I think it's going to be a great game for, you know, the fans to watch, and I think it's going to be something where both teams, I think every player is going to go out on that field, and they're going to leave everything they got out there. And I think
yeah.
it's going to be a hard-fought, tough game, and we'll see where everything lies at the end. But I'm hoping the Vixen will be victorious.
Of course, yeah. And of course, we're hoping the Sharks will be victorious. You know,
exactly, You know.
You know.
yeah.
But then regardless of what happens, there's still an All-Star game that gets played at
yep.
the championship.
Yeah,
game.
And this year we had 9 players that are going to the All-Star game this year, and a coach.
Yeah.
So
well,
we're pretty proud of that.
Let me ask you, in terms of this All-Star game, I mean, who's playing who when you do this?
We basically have East versus West, and the East is made up of the conference that we're in and the conference that the New York Sharks are in. So
okay,
we have 4 conferences, and so basically the Eastern Coast Conference is made up of the Midwest Conference and the Atlantic Conference, and then the West is, you know, everything else, the Central and the Pacific. And so, basically, yeah, East versus West.
Okay, and is this done like it's done as a fun game?
Yes.
I mean,
yes. I mean, they're all competitors, so
yeah,
you know. But yeah, it's definitely something that's as fun.
Yeah,
it's like any All-Star game because it's gonna be fun. It's there to honor the athletes, and it's there to. Not just honor the athletes, but also create some camaraderie. It's one of the things that the All-Star players that they always talk about when they go out is meeting players from the other team and meeting other women that love football and play football as much as they do. And they
yeah.
make a lot of great friendships when they're out there.
Oh, yeah.
And we've actually gotten some players out of there, too. Because players, then when they've been relocated for jobs to Minnesota, they look us up and they want to play.
Oh, cool. No, that's really
yeah.
great. And because otherwise there is no opportunity. I mean, unless you actually get to do the All-Star game or the championship game, you're not meeting players from other parts of the country.
This is a great opportunity for that.
Yeah. Well, okay. Good luck to everybody tomorrow.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks for taking the time to talk to me, and always happy to speak with you.
Okay, and by the way, this is archived. So if you want to use it for any purpose, by any chance, go ahead.
Okay, wonderful.
All right.
Thank you, Merle.
Right,
take care.
I'm gonna. Email or tweak or whatever kind of thing to say hello tomorrow at the game.
All right,
okay.
We'll be looking for it.
All right,
okay.
Take it easy.
All right, thanks. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Yes, so I didn't even want to bother having a commercial because I wanted to get into this. And so I'm going to end this show early and looking forward to watching the game. So everybody, have a great day or evening or whatever if you're going to listen to this afterwards. Or if you listened to it now, well, as I say, TTFN.